Good morning. Each quarter, LifePoint Church likes to give an update on our missions ministry, and we try to do it every quarter, and a lot happens, seems like, in between each quarter, so we thought that this would be a great time to do that. Before we start, though, one of the challenges that we have in the missions ministry is staying on target, staying on focus. What exactly that means. As recently we updated our webpage, and on it we have a missions page, and I was tasked to find out exactly what is it that we're doing. And as I was researching other churches and seeing what these other ministries are doing, I found it that the missions ministry means a lot of different things to a lot of different churches. And to be honest with you, I was lacking in a little direction. So luckily, we have some very, very good advice that we can always go to when looking at, trying to find the direction where God is leading a ministry. So I'd just like to start off first with reading something from Matthew 28:16. Most of you have heard this, but this is basically the plumb line, the standard to which we get the direction for our missions ministry. Then the 11 disciples left Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even till the end of age." This, I believe, is really the benchmark, is the standard, is the plumb line, that when we are giving direction to our missions ministry, that we always need to go back to test ourselves. Are we truly following what God's plan here is? It's very, very clear. There are a lot of understandings of what mission ministries are. You may have been involved in missions ministry at another church or experienced some mission outreach at other churches. And there's a lot of good things happening in a lot of churches, a lot of great community efforts, outreaches. I recently went to a local church here that had a neighborhood-wide community outreach. They were fixing cars, they were changing oils, they were giving out lunches. We went in, I got my car cleaned, I've got my oil changed. The people were so welcoming and nice to me. They gave me snacks, I was under a nice tent. It was really, really a good thing. You could see where they were really reaching out to the community, and I thought, wow, what a wonderful idea. And I was out, in all honesty, searching for ideas, what we could do with our ministry. And the people were very welcoming to me. And they were very hospitable to me. We spoke about all sorts of things, about college football, about work, about our cars, about the weather, and so on and so forth. And then as we drove away, last person that I saw leaving the parking lot said, "God bless you," and we went on our way. And what came apparent to me at that moment was not at one time did anyone ever say the name of Christ Jesus to me. At no time did anyone reach out to me and ask me, where do I stand with Christ? How do I know him? Do I know his word? Do I know the Son, Christ, our Savior? And I thought to myself, this is something I need to think about. Are we doing the Great Commission? We are doing a lot of good things. A lot of churches are doing wonderful things, but are we going? Are we making disciples? Are we sharing the gospel? And then are we teaching these new disciples? So that's where the direction and the updates that I am going to about to give to us, I'd like us to always to go back and question, is this what we're doing with the Great Commission? Now, there are a lot of very good ministries out there. But with the missions ministry, I felt that it was very important that we stay focused on the Great Commission. So with the updates that we're hearing today, I hope that we've stayed fast to that, and there's a lot of really good news on that. First off, you remember several weeks ago there was a young lady that attended church here. Her name was Robin M. I'm not going to say her last name for security reasons. And Robin was a young lady who attended church here for 2 years and was a student at one of the local colleges here. And then she was called on to go to East Asia on a mission trip for a year. Some of you probably know there's some information on the back table about Robin. This is not where Robin's going either, I don't think. Well, Robin landed safely in her East Asia place. She's currently going to be living with a missionary family that's doing the Great Commission in East Asia. And this particular place in East Asia is considered a red zone. So they're very they're not very hospitable to Christians, and that's why some of what I'm saying for protection of Robin, I can give you more information, detailed information afterwards, but she's landed there, and she's doing well. They'll be going to different communities and different areas to do conferences, but Robin specifically will be going there to homeschool the missionaries' children and to assist them in raising their children. Now, Robin's in her early 20s. And I kind of want you to kind of put yourself in her perspective for just a moment. When you were either in your early 20s or maybe about to be in your early 20s, and you're going to go off to a country that they don't speak a word of English, that they're hostile to Christians, and now on top of that, you're in your young, early 20s, and now you're going to homeschool some children. So Robin needs a lot of prayer. So I'm going to ask you all to specifically lift Robin up in her prayers if you want some more information of how possibly you could assist Robin further. There's some information on the back table there. But Robin certainly is doing exactly what I believe the Great Commission has called all of us to do, each and one of us. She is going, she is there discipling young children, and she is also being discipled. It's a wonderful thing. So let's keep Robin in our prayers, but she is doing well. And I think all is going well there. And then you've probably seen some of the slides on our India missions. Some of you may know a little bit more about our partnership with the Siloam Pastors League in India, and some of you may not. So I'll briefly go over that. The Siloam Pastors League is a collection of pastors in India whose sole purpose is to do the Great Commission. They are going out and they are going to people who have never heard the name of Christ before. And they're going around and speaking to these people, loving on these people, and sharing the gospel with these people. Now, this collection of pastors is quite a wide network, and it isn't the type of pastor that maybe we're accustomed to here in the States. These are generally newer believers that have committed their lives to Christ, and now they're turning around and wanting to be part of something bigger to share the gospel. Now, one of the gentlemen that we have partnered with, his name is Pastor Praveen. He is part of the Siloam Pastors League, and I want to encourage you that you can go to our missions webpage, and there's a link to his Facebook page. So if you wanted to see some of the incredible things Pastor Praveen is doing there, I want to encourage you to do that. Now, Pastor Praveen, we had an opportunity to visit there about 5 years ago, and that's where you're seeing some of these pictures. Praveen is a remarkable, remarkable person. I don't know where he gets his energy from. He's in his early 30s, relatively young man, and his grandfather was one of the founders of the Siloam Pastors League. His father then became part of that ministry, and now Praveen, who is the only one that has had some seminary training, is also there. Praveen's heart is truly, truly the Great Commission. He wants to go to unreached people, share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them, and then multiply them, disciple those new disciples. And when we decided to partner with Praveen, as opposed to possibly maybe sending financial help or partnering with some kind of non-governmental organization, we actually spent time, almost 2 weeks there with Praveen, and saw the day-to-day real-life experiences that were going on there. And it's not as glamorous as you would think it would be. It's not one of those things where we could, you know, post the flag, the Christian flag, on top of the hill, and we've converted a village. It's a slow, meticulous, everyday, consuming thing that Praveen does. Just in the aspect of the Siloam's Pastors League becoming involved with non-believers and to the untouchables, other offshoots have come up. One of the things is that as you go to some of these untouchable villages in India, orphans, that's hard to say, right? But because of that and the love that he has, these kids are in need of shelter, and very often, most often, the pastors themselves will house these children in their own homes. Now, you may have seen some pictures where they're very small accommodations, the very, very, very basic accommodations. And sometimes some of these pastors will have up to 50, maybe 100 children in their home, sleeping on the floor, taking rotation turns. So you can see the challenges that these individuals have. The Pastors League is something that we directly wanted to try to help them, pray for them, help them financially, and support them through prayer and encouragement. The wonderful thing also that came out of the Siloam's Pastors League is you've probably heard of this before, it's called the Set Free Alliance. In the midst of Praveen going about and reaching some of these untouchable people, they found that in Andhra Pradesh, there's a large rock quarry mining industry. And many of these untouchable children, parents have sold them to the rock quarry owners, and they were actually enslaved, living in horrible, horrible conditions. When Praveen saw this, the Siloam Pastors League sprang into action, and they were able to free thousands and thousands of children. Praveen did not have the wherewithal to take care of that many. Right now, I think it's over 5,600 children have been freed. And luckily, one of the local churches here has started another ministry called the Set Free Alliance. But this is just one of the things that 5 years ago didn't exist. And you can see how Praveen, the Siloam's Pastors League, is expanding. Currently now, there is a campus that's being built in India to house many of these children. They also have the orphanages that are still involved there. They do remedial training for some of these people who are untouchables who don't have any skills, have no knowledge, never had any education. But what's first and foremost on Praveen's heart is the Siloam's Pastors League, is the Great Commission. Just recently, I saw a Facebook post where Praveen asked for prayer. He specifically asked for prayer because he was unsure of himself. Just like some of the 11 disciples who, even after being with Jesus, had doubts. So we need to continue to pray for Praveen. I encourage you to go to his Facebook page to look at the updates that he's giving there, and something that you would, I think, be very, very fruitful. I wanted to announce that on October 6th, I was asked to return back to India. In October 6th, I'll be going back to India. The purpose of that trip will be, one, to give encouragement to the pastors of the Siloam Pastors League, to pray for them, to visit some of the orphanages, to look at the new complex for the Set Free Alliance. And it's just a great way of encouraging and also holding accountable the people that we are supporting. So that's some great things happening there in India. And then next, I'd like to talk about something local here. It's a newer thing that's developed here in the last few weeks. And this is what we're calling Prayer and Tacos. On Wednesdays, there's been a group of our people here who've been going to the Sterling community. Now, Sterling Community is right behind the St. Francis Hospital, and this neighborhood is definitely an impoverished neighborhood. It is fraught with drugs, prostitution, and many, many people who may know the name of Jesus Christ, but they do not know Jesus Christ. And when we first started going there, it was a very simple plan. We were just going to go there. We were going to hand out tacos, free tacos to people, and pray for them. And it has exploded into more than we could ever be grateful for. It was just unbelievable. We've been becoming known in the community, first name basis. We're knowing people in the community. We're interacting with the community. Often people will be coming up and not even asking for tacos. They'll just want prayer, horns beeping. But this is something that's happening right here. The need is just as important here as it is in India or in East Asia. And this is an opportunity for all of us to be involved. You don't have to get on a plane and go 12 or 15 hours to be involved in sharing the gospel, to carrying out the Great Commission. Children of all ages, women, men are all coming to us. And it's been quite a wonderful experience. And one of the things that I thought of, that was a really cute little kid right there too. One of the things that we didn't plan on, but Lord has his ways and he is working and he is such a good father, that the men and the women who have been coming to the prayers and tacos on Wednesday, this is the part of the discipleship where we're teaching disciples to make disciples. This is another aspect of the Great Commission. Additionally, when we were in this community, it's in the Sterling Community Center, and there's a basketball court there, and a lot of the young teenage boys love to play basketball there, and we've had an opportunity to play basketball with them. And about a month ago, there was myself, Rex Jones, and Caleb Connor, who I don't think is here today, but we decided to challenge some of the younger boys to a one-on-one basketball game. And it was mostly Rex's idea, because I know my limitations. Anyhow, we played these three young, strapping, African-American, lengthy boys in a game of one-on-one basketball with Sterling Community rules that we learned as we were going. And but I want to tell you that after a hard-fought game, I mean, we were going down to the wire, basket for basket. I was very, very tired. Rex and Caleb, they were doing a wonderful job. We prevailed and won, actually, this game. And I think Rex has very appropriately called it the miracle at Sterling. Now, I hope that's not going to be the only miracle at Sterling. But this is a picture of them posing. This is Caleb and Rex posing afterwards. Now, I'll tell you this. Rex and Caleb did score all of the points. Okay? Well, except for one point. I scored the last point. I think we have a shot of me making the last point. Yeah, there it is. There it is there. All right. So that was a good time. But here again, we're in the... And you can leave that up, too, if you want. You can see the fellowship that was happening here, the community that we were reaching into, going and playing basketball in their environment, building their trust. That's how you build bridges to then share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. For us to plant seeds with them, we have some exciting, hopefully some exciting stuff coming up that we're going to further have opportunities to partner with the Sterling community. Coming up very soon. I have a meeting with them next week about some plans that we'll definitely update you all about. And if you have some more specific questions about what's going on in the Sterling community, but you can see that there's a lot going on with the missions team. And I welcome, this is not any kind of an exclusive team. It specifically says in the Great Commission that we are all called to go and share the gospel of Jesus. So I'm grateful for the opportunities in India. I'm grateful for Robin leading us and showing us the great example in East Asia, and then the developing situations that's happening in the Sterling Village. That's another wonderful, wonderful thing that's going on. So that was basically the update on the missions. I'll be staying after church if anyone has any specific questions that I can answer further about that. But I think the Lord is really moving in a wonderful way to not only affect the communities around us, but internationally, and also shake up this church just a little bit to get us out of our seats, get us out of our walls, and go out and carry out those very, very important last words of Jesus, is to go and make disciples of all nations. So amen to that. So I'll pray, and we'll close with that. Lord, I'm so grateful for the opportunity that you've given all of us to serve a mighty God. Lord, you don't need our help, but we are so grateful that you let us come alongside you. Father, I just pray that when we have doubts, when we're not quite sure of the direction that you're leading us to, that we can go to your word, the truth of your word, and find that direction. And Father, I pray that we can also find the bravery and the power to go out and do what you've asked us to do, to go and share the gospel with those. Father, you've given us so many opportunities in this small church to impact not only this community, but to impact a world, and we're grateful for you. And Father, we're most grateful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. As we remembered him today, Father, we are thankful for that Savior, for that Lord, for the Creator of all heaven and earth. Father, we love you. We just love you, Father. You are a great and powerful God and worthy of all praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from LifePoint Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If this ministry has touched your life in some way, we would love to hear from you. Just visit our website at www.lifepointsc.org for more information. Or, if you prefer to reach us by letter, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him. Of my heart, I want to see.